Madeleine! Yes, and today we want to talk about anxiety in vaulting or another sport. Well, just how to deal with anxiety when you're doing a sport, right?
Exactly. All my life I have dealt with anxiety in different ways, and it can be very tricky when it comes to sport and like getting in the way to do what you want.
Yeah, it really can, and I mean, when you had a bad experience, you can get anxiety too when you want to do the exercise or your routine again, right?
Exactly. And that can be very tricky to deal with.
Yeah, and I think that everybody could deal with anxiety in their sports career or in their life in any way. So I think that talking about anxiety is really a very important topic.
Exactly. And I have had a lot of anxiety in whole my life, both in sporting and in social situations and in school and that stuff. And I would say I probably have more anxiety than the average people. And it's hard for one another to see what's going on inside of a person, because most of the time it doesn't show outside if I'm struggling with any anxiety or something else. And it has affected me a lot as a vaulter, as a person, as a gymnast. But today we are going to focus on the vaulting part, of course, because it's the vaulting part.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I found very interesting is that one of my sisters have the exact same struggles as I do. We are scared for the same things without even knowing. She found the same exercises scary that I do, even if I haven't told her which parts I thought were scary and I get the most anxiety from.
Yeah, it's always very interesting how much is your heritage, because I'm the other way around. I'm not very... very afraid of doing new things, but I mean, of course, I can have anxiety and feel afraid as well when I do exercises. But for me, I have always been in that way, and I recently discovered that. So it's important to know about yourself and really get into deep with it sometimes to get to know. Have you always been like this, or is there anything has anything happened in your life that made you feel like you feel? So sometimes it's good to just really think about it, I think.
Exactly. But it's a very interesting topic, and it's important to remember that we all is so different that you can't know what the other person is dealing with. And it's so important to be accepted, to find acceptance, to meet other people with.
Yeah, and today we thought about talking a little bit what one can do to get over feeling anxiety or feeling that it is hard to do something that doesn't feel right.
Exactly. And before you set up any expectations of any directly solutions of your anxiety, I will say that I am not a professional in psychology or something like that.
Yeah.
Everything I say is only what I experienced, what I found helped me. And I'm just a human, just like you who listen. I have had anxiety and I have solved it in my own way. But if you feel that it can be very overwhelmed, I know that there are very good people that can help you, like athletic psychologist.
Yeah, sports psychologist. And that is really important to say, as you say, Torun, that we are not professionals and the advice we give here are only for, yeah, from our hearts to yours. And maybe you try it, maybe it works, and it maybe doesn't work. But yeah, so maybe you get something out of it. We don't know, but we hope you like it. And yeah, I would like to say why it is important to think about how to deal with anxiety and deal with being afraid of doing a move, because the whole body works together. And if we want to make a good performance, it is really important that we feel good as well. And if we are afraid of doing something, the body will not do it, right? Or have some defense mechanisms and you can get hurt because you're afraid.
Exactly. It's important to both the soul and mind and body work together. I always thought to talk a little about what the leader means when you have a lot of anxiety. And I think the leader is very, very important. And sometimes I cannot tell the difference between two leaders. I think it can be chemistry. One of them I feel safe with and one another I maybe don't. And that can be so individual and it can be just chemistry that we feel safe around some people. Some people, they just have a safe space that they carry with them. And for me, this part is really, really important. Without a good leader, I can't do anything. I am very in need to have a good leader or person who just can help me with words. And I cannot really tell what the magical words for a good leader is or not, but I think a big part maybe is acceptance and to be a good listener. Just look at everyone when they come and make everyone in the room to feel special and lift everyone up. That's I have found is very good with good leaders. They lift you up and you feel very special. And there you can do a lot of good job.
Yeah, and when you talk about a good leader, I also think that when you train yourself, you have to be a good leader for yourself. So if you don't have a leader, or if you maybe are training by yourself sometimes, try to be a good leader for yourself as well. And how would you like the person that leads you to be? And maybe try to have that role for yourself. For example, if you would do a trick, you want to train a trick that you feel still is not like, there, you are not so comfortable about it. I think that instead of like telling yourself, oh no, it didn't work. Well, would a good leader tell yourself, oh, that was not good? Or would the person say, well, this was not perfect, but can you try and do it a little better? Or this part was actually good. Well, concentrate on that good part. So I think how you talk to yourself also is very important, because being a good leader to yourself will make you feel better about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes when I don't have the people I want around me, I actually imagine them to be there. I remember I were very afraid of doing the stand on the horse. I still are, because I fell not so long time ago. I fell very badly. So now I'm afraid, but I remember just one moment when I went up and I were going for the stand, that the people I wanted to see it, the people that I feel safe with, they weren't there. But I wanted them to be, so I imagine what they would say if they were there. And then when I did the stand, it was like I could hear them in my mind, because I know what they would say. And I know they were happy, even if they didn't were there.
That's very good, because the people you depend on, they may be not always there. So instead you can tell it to yourself or imagine them being there. And when you were telling about the stand, that you think this was a hard exercise, I also think sometimes when you're afraid of an exercise, you can break it down and make it easier so you can feel comfortable and feel that you can handle this. For example, if you take the stand, one should always try to exercise and do the exercise in a safe space first before doing it on the horse and canter. So I would say that you have, of course, to be able to stand on the ground and know how the position is on the horse, how the horse moves, and mimic that, you know, with being smooth in your knees and how your posture should be, and also know your bales, where should I fall if I would fall. For instance, when we take the stand, it is very important to always fall in the front and not in the back, because if you fall to the horse's back and backwards, you could fall off the horse and get under his hind legs, and that would be devastating if you get under the hind legs of the horse. And then, yeah, know how the position is, and then try to advance the exercise and do it maybe on a Pilates ball that is in a car tire with people helping you on the side, so you feel safe and have mattresses on the sides to fall on. And then do the stand on the hide, like higher heights, like a higher wooden horse, or it doesn't have to be a wooden horse. You can, yeah, stand on something that is tall that you feel safe in, but always gradually make it a little bit harder, but being still in a safe setting. And then when you do the stand on the horse, you can also do maybe take a rope and put it on the girth, so you can still hold it when you're standing, so you feel that you have like your lifeline in case that anything happens, you can still hold on to that. So I really think it is important to think about to break down an exercise that you feel uncomfortable with, to gradually gain trust again in your body and yourself, even if it's not has been an accident. And then it is even more important, because you need to start to do the exercise right from the beginning, because it's much harder to get over your anxiety when you have lost your trust, when you have been falling. So it's better to do the exercise good and proper from the beginning instead of doing something that could injure yourself. So always think safety first.
And sometimes when we are lacking self-confidence or something, it's easy to just say, no, I can't do that, or I don't know how to. And this is special for a lot of gymnastics. I have been a leader in gymnastics group also, and trained a lot in gymnastics before I started vaulting. And it's a very typical problem that one person starts to say, I can't do it. I can't. And after 2 weeks, the whole group just stands and say, we can't do this. I know it can be very hard when you stand there and are very frustrating. You can't like get the body to work together or something. It's very easy to just say, I can't do that. I do that often in different situations just because I'm so frustrated, and it's easy to say, I can't. We need to start thinking that we can't do it yet. Change the attitude.
Yeah, and I think that's so funny because you're saying that, because I went to Gero Meyer's training camp in Sweden a couple of years ago, and every time somebody was saying, I can't do it, he said, get down on your knees, you're gonna do some push-ups. I think it was push-ups. Because he wanted us to say, I still can't do it, I can't do it yet, instead of saying, I can do it. Because, as you say, it's all about the attitude.
Yeah, and it's easy to... And bad attitude and a good attitude, both of them spread like COVID-19 in a group. So when you go in and are training with some people, if you have a negative attitude with them, it's like you have COVID. I know the frustration when you only want to sit down and say, I can't. But you need to stand up again when you feel so broken and say, I can. You need to stand up again and cheer up and touch your neck up and like feel, well, maybe I can.
Yeah. You see, a lot of times I do things that I still can't do. But I'm like, I'm just getting my head into it and saying, do one more, do one more, do one more, like, until it works. So I'm like so stubborn sometimes. But I mean, of course, I can have my bad days as well and think that I will never manage to do it and be very sad about it. But it's about your attitude to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And when someone is really scared to do something, it's really important that the leader or someone is there very close to help. And it's mostly actually about a feeling. Like in vaulting, it can be a big help if somebody runs beside a horse. Or in gymnastics, it can be a big help to just feel a hand in the back that there is someone there, even if I only lack a little bit in trust in myself. I know I can do this move, but today I don't think I can by myself. It can be a world of big help. Just feel that I'm not on my own. And this is, I have seen it a lot during training my sister, because she can be a little bit afraid, and it helps if I just put a hand on her. She feels, okay, I'm not on my own, but I can do this.
I remember that when she was doing a backhand, or not a backhand, a somersault from the simulator, she needed a hand, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was the other sister, but she can also be that way sometimes. Yeah, we're alike, we agree. I have two little sisters, and she can do that by herself, but she needed to hold me in the hand just to feel I'm not on my own up there. I can trust both of us, and we're doing this together, even if I weren't doing anything. Actually, I didn't do anything. I was just sitting and holding out my hand. And she took it, and she did it. And that's the important thing, because she wouldn't not have done it if I didn't hold her hand. And I'm also worried that way sometimes. I'm afraid to be on my own. I need to have someone to hold my hand when I'm doing something tricky.
And I think that is our sport is really great with this, because we are like we do try to do things together to learn with each other's help.
Yeah, and it's very valuable to have two sisters that know you inside out, because sometimes I only need a word like, but I have seen you do this, I know you can, and I look up to you and do this for me, then I can do anything. And I train a lot with both my sisters, and they are lovely, and we support each other in everything, every time. We are very close sisters and have a lot of fun together too, but they are really helping me to just do my best, just with a smile or with a look. I can feel like, okay, now I can be calm. I'm not on my own. I have my sister down in the sand, and she's smiling at me. So now I'm going to do this difficult thing.
Yeah, and you were talking about your sisters, and we have been training together. And I know that sometimes I'm trying to like push you a little bit. Like, well, I know you can do it. I know you have the right abilities. You can do it physically, but I know that you mentally are a little bit afraid, or there's something else you are thinking, and I'm trying to like push you a little bit, and sometimes it helps, because you need like somebody to encourage you and tell you, I know you can do it, and even if you think it's scary, and you need to like feel that you have somebody who believes in you, and that you feel safe in the environment. But sometimes it's important to think that, to remember that, don't push yourself or somebody else too much, because that can lead to accidents, or that the person is not capable of doing it because the thing is just too big for them. So pushing somebody or yourself, it is really important to think about that it has to be the right time and the right place. And I mean, of course, you never know when that is right, but when you try to think with common sense, what are the experiences of the person from before? What is he or she physically able, and in which place in her mind or his mind is the person? So I think that is also important to think about.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it's very important that it's actually are the right time and right place, because if it's the wrong place or wrong time, it can be just a bad day. At least I can be very like pissed off when someone like tells me to, but I know you can do that. And I'm like, yes, but not today.
Just because you want me to do it, that's why I don't.
Yeah, kind of. But then another part I think it's really important, that I think it's a common problem in kind of all sports, that where you want people to be good. And that if we sort the children when they are little, but the best ones and the one at lowest level. The unafraid are going to be on the highest level, and the most scared kids are going to be on the lowest level. But that doesn't mean the kids that are more scared have less talent than the other ones. Most of the time, it can actually be the opposite, that this child that's maybe a little bit scared but or have a lot of talent, we want them to make the same progress. The scared child with maybe a lot of talent to have the same opportunity to encourage themselves and make a big progress, just like the unafraid. But it's a lot harder, and it's need a lot and a very dedicated leader.
Yeah, I really, somebody who signs this really agrees with you. I'm really a person who agrees with you on this, because you don't know how good a 5-year-old is in 10 years or 5 years. You never know how fast they will develop, and if their interest fades, and if they're not interested anymore, it doesn't it is not important at all if they have talent, because if they don't want to do it, the talent is wasted. So I think everybody should get a chance to really to be the best, because somebody who maybe doesn't have talent at the moment has a lot of motivation, and motivation is more important than talent. Or it is, both is important, of course, but I think that you will get further with good motivation, because if you only have talent and you're not motivated, it will not get you very far. But on the other hand, I think it is also important to don't, like, try to put everybody on the same level, because, of course, there will be individuals who want to succeed and get better and maybe having a sports career. And so you should not hold down somebody just because everybody else doesn't have the same level. So really try to be a good trainer, if you are a trainer, to give challenges to each and every person on their level where they are. So, like, meeting an athlete where he or she is, both physically and mentally.
Exactly. And the important thing is to just, like, sort kids out when they're, like, 10 years old. Because some progress a lot between 10 and 13 years old, and some when they're older.
Yeah, I usually think that, like, when they're 15... they will, like, maybe the good ones who were talented, they will do drugs and alcohol. And the ones who were only motivated but not talented, they are the superstars. So you never know what happens in the future.
You never know. And by letting all get the same opportunities, you can't hurt anyone either. It's a lot of kids that ends up playing the sport they really love, because they didn't came in the same group as the bestie.
Yeah, because the social part was much more important than going to competitions or win competitions, but parents or other grown-ups think that is the most important part.
Exactly. And then it's really important to say, it can be hard to make the difference between someone who is scared or just lacks self-confidence, or someone who don't want to do something. If you're scared or lacks in self-confidence, maybe it seems like you don't have any motivation because you don't have any trust or believe in yourself. So that can be a result of lack of motivation if you're scared or don't have self-confidence. And to start to work on, like, anxiety, try to figure out what's behind. Why do I feel this when I do this? Why do I feel this in this room? Or try to find something. And when we learn about ourselves and try to understand our triggers, it helps us make a progress. Maybe not like a big progress, like, oh, now I can do this exercise. More like a progress. Next time I'm going to be afraid, I know what to do. I know how to handle my anxiety. I didn't say it were easy. And I still wonder a lot about how my mind affects my body. Because even if I'm getting better to handle my anxiety and my scaredness and that stuff, it's still there. And sometimes it can be very hard to understand myself. And mostly it's there when I get pissed off when someone says something. Because before I can get help to do something, I need to know by myself what's going on inside. And a lot of my energy goes to thinking about who I am and why I react the way I do. And I need to have that straight out. Why do I do this? Why am I afraid? What do I think I need to do about it before someone says something? That's very important to me personally.
Yeah, and you said something interesting there, I think. And that is, how much does my mind affect my physical abilities? And I think especially in vaulting, that is a huge part. And there is a DVD that is like an old instruction film for vaulting in Sweden, and it's called Dare to Vault. It's not like a big movie or anything. It's just about like instructing in what vaulting is. And I often think about the words dare to vault because it says to me that you have to dare before you are able to do it. That means that you can be the strongest individual, but if you don't dare, if you don't have enough courage to do it, you will not be able to do it. So for me, the mind is very important in everything we do, because if we are not able to trust ourselves or to feel that we are capable of doing anything, we will not be able to do it, even if we are physically able to do it.
It is also very important that we, in the beginning with new walkers, are making a surrounding that spreads happiness and safeness. When we look into kids that's growing up, the body change between the child's body and adult's body can be a big step to take. And it can be very scary and a lot of things happen in our bodies. And we need to, in the beginning, make a space for kids and children when they start vaulting or adults, but mostly shy at beginning, to make them feel safe. Because the feeling they get for the first time, they're going to keep it with them, perhaps,
mostly, all the time,
I would say.
I think sports should always be about being happy first. There shouldn't be pressure. And I think that is still very nice with vaulting, since we are, it's a sport that has non-profit. You can't win any huge prize money on competitions. And that means that we are still a sport who builds a lot of finding happiness and having fun. So I think it's very important to always remember that. And another thing, when you are having trouble with doing a certain exercise, sometimes you have to be creative and come up with solutions for the problem when you're stuck. For example, when you have problems with the standing, to use a rope to give you some trust to the horse and your own body. And there are so many ways in finding solutions to get over problems when you're stuck. And sometimes you can't find a good idea. So ask other people, ask the vaulting community. There are so many people outside online, if you don't have anybody who's near you, or a person you know that maybe doesn't even have their foot in vaulting, but or that maybe doesn't have anything to do with vaulting. Maybe they have good ideas how to solve your problem. So talk with people about different things that you feel are hard, and maybe they can have a good solution that you haven't been thinking about. So ask for help, and don't be afraid of asking for help, because nobody is strong on themselves, and this sport is really about helping each other. I think.
Yeah, exactly. And therefore, it's very important that it's a safe space in the group, because you can't ask to help if you don't dare to. And therefore, I will say, or I will tell about something I saw one time. And I saw a leader standing by with her cell phone instead to help the youngest kid. And I was wondering, how do you think the kid felt? Often in sports, we have teams as leaders. It can't be said enough times. We, the adults that know more, need to educate and help new and young leaders a lot, because we are their role models. How I act are going to affect younger leaders when I train a group, or it's going to how I are as a leader are going to affect the way the child I train now are as a leader when it grow up. And when I was 12 when I started as a leader in my gymnastic club, I didn't know anything about how to teach a kid to do a handstand or something like that. I actually didn't know anything, but I got so much help by the other leaders in the group. They helped me along all the time, and I got help to know how do I make the kids feel safe and how do I make them want to try the new things. And now one of the things I admire the most is to see a kid overcome the greatest fear. And we need to take the responsibility to create this. And it's also very important that teenage leaders don't stand by themselves. They need help from others, other leaders that are more experienced and that stuff. And they need to have a good communicating. Because you can have an old leader in a group that are very experienced, but if that one doesn't want to talk to the younger one, but also a leader, the young leader never going to learn how to do. We are never good at something we just started with. So we need to help these young people to grow in a leader position, because they can be very, very good and very valuable. And I think everyone who listens knows there is someone you know or someone in your walking club or yourself. You are a young leader or have been. This is very important that we like help each other with over and over and over, because it never ends. And if young leader that doesn't get the help they need are bad leaders. They need help. They need education, because it's about the kids, it's about the children, it's about to create happiness in the sport.
Yeah, I think you are always an ambassador of your own sport, because when you show pictures of yourself in social media, or when you're at competitions, or when you're training and somebody else is watching you, you will always be a role model for somebody, and you never know who that would be. It could be a 5-year-old just passing by seeing you, and how would you think that kid would think if you would be, for example, mean to a horse, or as you said, you're having your phone all the time. So it's really important to think about what kind of signals you want to send out to other people. What do you want them to see? So I think you will always be a role model for somebody, but you never know when and how. So it's important to think about that, yes. And something else that I think is really, really, really important is a fall technique. And I've seen vaulters in Germany. They have been having like classes with judo or judo trainers, because they use a lot of fall technique when they do judo. And I think that learning how to fall from a trick is more important than learning the trick. I mean, of course, you should be able to learn the trick, but before you learn the trick, you should be able to know where to fall and how to fall, because you will lose balance in a trick from now and then, and you need to know where you should go. I was at a clinic for gymnasts teachers one time for my club, and I heard a writing teacher saying that their plan for not falling in the school, writing school, was not falling at all. So they did not have like a plan how they would learn fall techniques, what happens in case of. Their like their plan was just to don't let anybody fall off the horse. And I think that is really a bad choice, to not have a plan how to learn them kids how they should act when they fall, because they will fall. They can just say, well, our policy is that nobody falls off, or our policy is that nobody should fall off, because then you don't have like a plan what happens if. So I was really both annoyed and sad to hear that writing teacher saying that, because it is not a plan. It's not taking care of the problem, because falling off will always occur in one or another way, but you have to find a way how. So when I want to learn a handstand on a horse, I need to know where my bailouts are. Where are the ways to fall? Where will I fall and still not breaking a leg or getting under the horse or anything? So every trick that is learned should be also learned in a way that you know how to fall from the position. So I think having a plan for that is really important. And I think we are also thinking about talking in another podcast about that, because there's this really big topic in vaulting, and maybe you should talk to a judo trainer. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out. But it's really important to learn how to fall. I'm just afraid of jumping down from a chair. So I feel that it's very terrifying to like fall free down the air from the horse. So it's really important to dare to fall too.
Yes.
But as I have talked a little bit about before, I have a lot of anxiety, and it actually messes my brain up. Since I was physical and started gymnastics, I have had a few drills that actually are really, 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 really scary to do. One of them that are familiar to walkers and gymnastics, maybe the flick flack or backhand spring, you may say, or flick kiss, or depends on your language. That is one of my biggest fears. And I cannot explain why I'm so afraid of it, because I can do it by myself. I have done it by myself, but I'm so afraid. So I need someone to stand beside me and help me around, because I'm so scared.
Yeah.
It can be very confusing when the whole body goes into the flight or fight mode, which I think happened to me when I tried to do the backhand spring. For some reason, some drills make us really uncomfortable.
Well, I don't think it's so weird that you are afraid of doing a backhand spring, because you don't see where you are going. So it's about taking care of those feelings and to know that you are safe. So I know that you would rather do a backhand spring with help over another person, for example, because then you know you are safe, you have somebody who holds on to you. And if you don't have that, of course you can be afraid. But yeah, it's about having techniques to handle that. And of course, as we mentioned, if you have really troubles with anxiety, sometimes you need professionals to help you, like sports psychologists and exercise like this, where you really feel anxiety. Maybe you need to have like somebody who helps you with techniques to overcome that. And a good trainer can, a really good and experienced trainer can do that too, of course. But yeah, sometimes you need like extra help, and yeah, that is fine. Everybody can get in this position. So I don't think it's so weird actually that you feel afraid of that, but it's about how you handle it in the future, and can you find ways to overcome that?
Yeah, and the tricky thing with just the backhand spring is I know how to do it. I have done it by myself several times, different times. But it's still something that didn't really work. And it can be very confusing when the whole body goes into this flight or fight mode. And where do you really start to work on this blockage of mind when it's just so much in the head to think about and you don't know where to start dealing with? And for some reason, some dreams make us really uncomfortable. It makes us wonder where did the fun go? Sometimes I just ask that when an exercise is very scary. Where did the fun go? I'm here to just have fun. Why do I have this big black cloud in my head and the feeling of carrying a big backpack of Christ? Usually, I start with to do the exercise with a group that makes me feel safe. Like with the backband spring, I did it home with my mom, that's a gymnastic trainer, with my sisters. And it's very important to be in a group that makes us feel safe, where it's okay to make a mistake or be afraid. It's okay to say to my mother that I'm afraid today, I can do this today. Can we do it tomorrow? Or can we go in and eat dinner and then go out and try again? It's very easy with your mother and your sisters, and it can be very scary to say that to another group that you're not really comfortable with.
Yeah.
And sometimes for me, it's very necessary that I can start in my own way. Like, I will need that my mother should take me in the backhand spring. No one else could do it, just my mother, because I needed to start with that one. And often when I feel anxiety to an exercise, I have my own idea how I will solve it. And I can't always just say it out loud, because sometimes it sounds very silly when I just say, oh, but if I have
pink pants? Pink pants or pants?
Yeah, pink pants or pink socks or something, I will do this. That sounds very silly, but it can be a really tricky thing. Cause what if the mats are red and I have orange socks on me? That can be a very blocking thing for me. I know that's a little bit overkill, but...
But I know a lot of sportsmen, like on really athletes that are on high-level sports, and they think that when they don't have, like, the stinky socks they had on the last game, which they won, if they don't use them or if they would wash them, they will lose the game. So I think there is a lot into that.
Yeah. I, for example, cannot train if my pants doesn't match my underwear. That's very silly, but it's really true. I always have matching underwear and pants. I can't train either way.
But I hate when I have clothes that I don't feel good in. I always want to have that my t-shirt matches the pants. And also, I hate when I have bad underwear on me. And I mean bad underwear that goes up in the crotch or something. I really don't like it. So I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah. It's quite silly. But anyways, we can't always say just the solution out loud. And sometimes it's just that I want help from somebody else than the one standing beside me. We can't choose who we trust in. It can be like chemistry or something. I don't know. But as a leader, it's important to not take that personal. It's very easy when a gymnast or Walter says, but can I do it with her instead? It's just a silly mind thing. Don't take something personal. We all are different. And what's worked for me, maybe don't work for anybody else. And actually, I often feel misunderstood when I have vaulting or gymnastic related anxiety. But one of the longers that I vault with, I think it's good chemical, because when she says something, I listen and I just do it. She can say anything and I will do it. And I don't know why. And it's all about something we can't just understand. Of course, I listen to like my trainer too, but when this lunger says something, either it if she actually stands in the middle and lingers the horse I'm on or stands tight, it doesn't matter. If she says something, that's my law. And I don't know how it become that way. Even if we train in a new horse that like did a real, the horse made a really big scene one time, and she was the longer then, and she asked like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm okay. So if you think it's a good idea to keep on going, I will sit here to see if there is something else, because I trust her so much." And I really appreciate it because she makes me perform my best and I feel safe even when I am in doubt. I want everyone who listens to this to reflect a little about how we respond and accept other feelings, other people's feelings. You can never blame one another for how they feel, and you can never take away the feelings and experience of one another. Acceptance is therefore very important, both for the ones that feel anxiety and for the ones that want to help. Anxiety doesn't always make sense. It's impossible to see if a person is struggling or not. You can never tell which one in the group are the ones who struggle the most, because that's something that's happened on the inside. Here I think it's important to do the traumatic drill over and over again until the body knows it so well that it feels possible even in the sleep. It's a way to make the exercise undramatic. Small steps are needed.
Yeah, and also if you see that somebody's struggling, or you don't even have to see that, sometimes it's good just to ask a person, how does the person feel, like in your club or your friend or your training partner?
Yeah, it can be a lot of help just to listen and just to see the person. There is a person on my work, one of my colleagues. I think she's maybe the best person in the world to just see other persons around her and just make them feel special, and she makes everyone feeling appreciated. That's amazing. I don't know what she does, but she does something.
Well, always remember those people need somebody to talk to as well.
Yeah, they do. This time about anxiety, I think it's a very interesting topic, because maybe it's because I have a lot of it and struggle a lot. Also, my sister does, so we talk a lot about this. When me and Madeline decided to do this topic, I talked a lot to my sisters. What do we think? What makes the difference between being scared and being not, and why does we feel this way? What are the grounds? Why? And that's very interesting. We can talk about it in hours. Yesterday, me and my sister, we went to a walk in the woods with my pony, and we talked about this like 4 hours, I think. So it's very interesting. I remember to respect each other and accept each other no matter what, because you never know what the other people are struggling with.
Yeah.
It's really important. And if you listen to this and feel that you maybe need help, it's okay, and try to ask for help. Try to find the help. You can only go the road by yourself, but you can have a lot of people following you.
Yeah, and remember that you are not alone. There are other people feeling as you as well. You are never the only person in the world feeling a certain feeling.
Exactly. But I hope you liked this episode. I did, and then we see you on the next one.
Yes. If you have any questions or ideas for new episodes of this pod, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us through Instagram, where the name is The Vaulting Blog, or by email, which is thevaultingblog@gmail.com.